and welcome to MedTalks, conversations by medical students for medical students. For those of you that don't know, I'm Deborah and this is my co-host, Joey.
Welcome to the show today, guys.
Today we're going to be mixing things up a little, and we're going to be just chatting about moments that have shaped us in our journey of medical school. It's quite a long ride, so one can be sure that there will be some life-changing discoveries along the way.
Yes, thanks, Deborah, and welcome to all our listeners. Please do forgive us if we do become a bit pretentious today. It's just the two of us. We've got no hosts.
We are the hosts. We don't have guests. We are the guests.
So, yeah, it's a bit of a change-up, but I'm excited to be chatting, Debs, and getting to know you better.
Yeah, about time. Okay, so, firstly, Joey, I think this is a question that is asked a lot amongst medical professionals, is why did you choose medicine, and has it been what you have expected it to be?
Debbie, you're definitely right about that. I mean, every single person has changed their answer to this question sometime
in
their life. Yeah,
throughout the journey.
So it's not really, okay, let me try answer it as thoroughly as I can. So I've got an older brother, he's 3 years older than me, someone that I've always looked up to, and respected a lot in my life. And he got accepted into medicine at Bloemfontein, at the University of Free State in grade 11. You know, when all that, oh no, it's a matric, isn't it?
I don't know.
I can't remember. Yeah. You have a little BSc.
I'll explain my story now, yeah.
But when he got in, and, this had a profound impact on me, in the sense that it kind of gave me insight to a degree. I mean, when people speak about medicine or engineering or this and that, all these degrees, like as a high school student, you don't actually have an idea what the hell people at university do. Mm-hmm. So I think my brother gave me a lot of insight and kind of inspired me to look into the medicine direction. Secondly, I've always had a passion for science, especially biology. And English and biology are my two favorite subjects at school.
Joe is a very precise guy.
So this also, I only know it now, but I didn't know medicine was as much reading as it actually is, because like it's so much study material that firstly
a
you have to
content.
Read. So all the books that I read back in the day definitely helped.
Contributed,
but I'm someone that did very well at school, so I knew that I wouldn't
struggle
to get into something. I don't want to sound arrogant when I say that, but not. I was quite confident in my abilities, in my academic prowess. So the choice was there to be made, and I thought a passion of mine that I've always had is caring and loving, and I think I get this from my mother. So
kind of fit, I guess.
It fits very well. Mm. If you're looking back now, the influence from my brother. My mom always being very caring, and that's also impacted a lot on me. So I guess that is why I chose medicine. Then the second part of that question, has it been what I expected it to be? Honestly, no. Mm, definitely
I don't
not.
Think anything can prepare you.
No, and I mean, expectations are there to be...
to be broken.
To be broken.
Annihilated.
No one, you don't know what to expect when you go into first year university. I mean, you're growing as a person, you earn this degree, and... there's all this hype, but it's definitely become more what I expected now in fourth and fifth year with clinical rotations. I mean, that's more what you, when you're in high school, that's what you expect to do, to be at a hospital and to see a patient and to...
feel like you're more involved.
Exactly. But no, I wasn't prepared for all that theory and doing physics and chemistry and philosophy again.
Yeah. So she left that behind.
Mm. So, and... let's turn this question back on you, Debbie. Tell us about your story.
It's an interesting one. So I actually did not apply for medicine coming out of high school. I applied for occupational therapy. But I was really sick in matric and I missed my MBT. So I obviously didn't make it into...
it's a bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
They take that as a massive contributor to your marks.
Yeah. If you didn't do your MBT, you wouldn't get in. Same for medicine, by the way. But anyway, so I wasn't led to medicine at first. I think I was just a bit scared of it, to be honest with you. Like, I was scared that I maybe didn't have the marks to be able to attain getting in. but I was always captivated by neuroscience. So after I knew that I wasn't going to make it into OT, I decided I might as well just apply for a general BSc. And thankfully at Tux, if you do a BSc, they have for like a 6-month trial period, I guess, and then a bunch of people get selected to go into
slots
medicine.
Into the med class.
Slot into medicine. So I actually wanted to do neuroscience, but medicine had been on the back of my mind. And I just thought, you know what, why don't I just give it a bash, just give it a go. And I ended up making it in, and I honestly feel like in my life, it was very God ordained. Like, it was how the whole process happened was really like, I could, you know, kind of see that he was like, I got you, girl. So it was really incredible.
Well done, by the way. I mean, just congratulations.
You.
To get in from BSc is
hard.
It's a mean feat. I wouldn't have been able to do it. Not with the lifestyle I was having in the first 6 months of my university.
No, I don't think I had a life in the first 6 months. I mean, it was some of my happiest times, definitely. I had, like, that's where my friend group came from. Like, the core of my friend group came from BSc. We're little BSCers together. And it was incredible. Like, you build really strong foundations, like, when you're going through really tough times together. So I was really fortunate for that. Is medicine what I expected it to be? Once again, no. For a very long time, you feel like you are just waiting. Like, you're waiting for, you know, to, like, get into the hospitals. You're waiting for, like, the big things to happen, I suppose, because you study, you don't see the inside of a hospital for the first, like, 3 years.
And you, like, think it looks like Grey's Anatomy in
it's
there.
It's not like Grey's Anatomy. You're not saving lives. Nope.
It's not glamorous.
You're just actually in the way all the time as a student. Like, that's kind of how it is. You fight over doing bloods. Like, that's how it goes. I think, especially in the South African system, we have a very... It's sad. Like, I think it's very sad. And I think that's one thing that I've felt a lot of, is a lot of sadness and feeling very, like, overwhelmed and feeling that
helpless.
Like, I can't do anything to help or change this person's situation. That being said, it's also taught me a lot of gratitude. So, not what I expected, but I think it's been exactly what I needed.
Oh, I like the way you put that.
Yeah.
That's very nice. Debbie, could you take us through some of the times as a med student that you will never forget? Some highlights, some lowlights. Give us a bit of a rundown of your highlight package reel.
My highlight package reel. Interesting. So definitely getting into medicine was one of them. I'll never forget the day. I was working and I got a phone call and they were like, hi, you've been accepted into medicine. And I just screamed. Like, I think that poor woman on the other side of the phone. And I just
did you celebrate aptly?
I did. That was the first night I got drunk, was that night. It's a good time. Maybe you should cut that out. No, I'm kidding. And I think just phoning my mom and just being like, listen, mom, like, I made it.
Because sharing that joy with her.
Yeah, because I think she was really proud. She knew how hard I had worked. So I think it was really incredible. And I think a lot of the other highlights is definitely, like, when you set out to achieve something and you get it. So, like, academically, I always set academic goals. And when I've achieved my academic goals, like, I'm always very proud of myself. But it does come at a big cost. You know, you're making a lot of sacrifices for that, which is something that you always have to kind of bear in mind.
It's kind of like you're setting yourself up for either a highlight or a lowlight, depending
basically,
on your test mark.
Basically, so that's not always a good thing, and I think it's learning how to take everything in its stride, and as we've mentioned on previous podcasts, it's just, your worth cannot come from medicine. Like, you have to be, like, medicine is not your identity, and you need other things you need other things to keep you stable. And that was actually a piece of advice that a friend gave to me when I was in my second year, and I think he was in his, like, fourth or fourth year. And I was really struggling. We were doing anatomy. And I was really struggling, like, dealing with, like, this dead person that I have to cut up. And he was just saying, like, you need to understand that this is a very different world that you're in. And it's a world that not a lot of people understand. And for that reason specifically, like, you do need your own outlets. So that's something that I really took to heart, and it's something that I've really invested in, and I think all medical students should invest in that. But another highlight would definitely be when, like, your patient compliments you. Like, when your patient's like, you're going to be a good doctor. I'll never forget. I have patients that I'll just never forget. And I had one patient, and he literally had, it was a neuro patient, and he had an agnosia and an apraxia on the one side, and he was in mission to examine, because I didn't know that he had an agnosia and apraxia at first. So I was trying to do an emotor exam on him, and a sensory exam on him, and it was like an absolute fail. And I was getting so frustrated.
They're difficult enough. Yeah. But, I mean, even just with a normal patient, it's like...
It's hard enough, but anyway, so afterwards, he just said to me, like, no, I'll be a good doctor. And it's just stuff like that which you really take to heart. And then another thing
grateful
that's really great
for the little things.
Yeah, another thing, I feel like I'm blabbing on, sorry, but another thing that's really great is friends. Like, my friends are the funniest people in the world, so that kind of has to keep me going. And what are some of your highlights, Joey?
There were a lot of lowlights as well, but highlights,
we'll get to the lowlights.
We'll get
now
to the lowlights. let's start with something positive. Highlights, I'm going to say the same as you, Debbie. The friends I've made and the people I've met are people that are going to be at my wedding one day,
mm-hmm.
at my funeral, if I die before them. they're just, it's honestly the friendships that I've formed in this time at university, studying with them, living with them. I stayed in Res for 4 years, and now I stay in commune with the same best friends.
Mm-hmm.
These are people I cannot tire of. I can't spend enough time with them.
Yeah.
So definitely that's one of the highlights. A moment I'm never going to forget, I'm not sure if I'd class it as a highlight or a low light, would also be in second year with anatomy, for the first time, or the first time we walked into those dissection halls.
Oh, I'll never forget it.
And there's just these body bags and outlines of cadavers in body bags, and your mind's kind of like, there's a dead person in there. But
yeah.
You don't really know how to deal or accept it, kind of like that.
You can't really register it. Like, yeah. It's very surreal. It's a very surreal feeling.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a cadaver, but damn it, that's a dead person though.
Yeah, and it's kind of putting those two and two together, which is very weird. Like, I'll never forget the first time we uncovered our cadaver. I actually had to, like, take an urinal before because I was so anxious. And they look like people, but they don't really look like people. Like, they don't look like a person that has just died, which makes it easier.
It does.
But it's still to remember that this was a person and that you need to actually pay them the utmost respect. So yeah, so I think it's moments like that you'll never forget. And what are some of your lowlights?
Same block, same year, second year anatomy. Give some context. My parents had recently moved up in Africa to Congo, and I used to stay in Res, but I still used to visit them every weekend. Maybe get some laundry done, have a good plate of food, spend some good time with my parents and with my sister, and just get kind of a boost before the week. It's good for the mental health. And then suddenly on the weekends when I was like just alone at Res, or
you don't have that anymore.
Yeah, and I was really struggling to deal with that, and especially with anatomy, which is classically a very difficult block. So, but the low light would be the night before mid block. Somehow I had woefully unprepared. Common theme. I do procrastinate a lot, but luckily I can study really quickly when pressure is on. But for some reason, this mid block, it was about 12 at night, or it was about midnight, and I just realized I've basically only revised thorax.
Oh, wow.
And
you have the three other parts of the sections of the body.
Major sections that I know next to nothing about. And I was actually that afternoon, literally 12 hours before, at noon, I had taken a 54 milligram Concerta. So this thing had been holding me, and I thought,
yeah,
hours later,
yeah.
I could feel it dipping, and I had another one. Now, this is
literally
midnight. That morning, I think 8, we write our theory test, and then we have our spots. And for some reason, I'll never forget, I took the other Concerta as well.
Oof.
And
mistakes have been made.
Exactly. And it was just an absolute anxiety-filled six or seven hours of last minute cram that was so ineffective, and I ended up like trying to sleep or trying to take a nap. But I mean, when you're on a stimulant like that, you can feel your heart like that tachycardia when you're trying to take a nap. And then I remember in the test, I could barely think straight because I hadn't slept. Everything, I got 41% for both my theory and my practical, which is consistency. I'll give myself that.
Yeah, well done. Clap on the back.
But then the highlight was ending up doing really well in block and promoting anatomy.
Yes, yeah. No, I can definitely relate. I think it's like, it's funny how some of the hardest times happen when it's obviously a difficult academic block, but when it feels like things in your personal life are falling apart as well. So I'll never forget for me, like, my lowest of low was 4B, which you also do in second year. And I feel like no one warns you about it. Like, no one tells
it's
you.
The
like,
unspoken.
The unspoken.
Yeah, it's just
it's
like.
It's horrible.
Don't tell second years how bad 4B is.
Yeah, it's microbiology. And it was just so intense. Like, it was 4 weeks of just, like, nonstop pressure. But obviously, there were things that were, like, going down in the personal life. I think I was in a relationship that was like falling apart at that stage, and I just remember sitting in the library crying.
It's quite like, a low one. I'm sorry,
it's dude. Very low. I'm like, I just can't do this. Like, I can't even. I was so tired, like emotionally, physically, everything. But I just didn't have an option but to sit there and study, because otherwise I wouldn't pass. And thankfully I did. I promoted.
And you promoted.
So it was fine.
You're speaking to someone who wrote the exam.
Oh, hectic.
Only exam I've written, though.
So. Oh, wow. But, I mean, it's a hard one. So, no. So I think it's, it's that moment always reminds me that, like, I can get through anything. Like, if I got through that, I can get through anything.
You've been lower.
Yeah.
And I survived it. So.
Yeah. So I think that was really hard. But yeah, I think another thing that's not always spoken about and should be spoken about more often is dealing with patients dying. I think as medical students, like we don't debrief enough, we don't talk about it enough, and I think sometimes we don't understand like how profound it is. Like, it's not just another thing that happens. Like, this is a person and they're not here anymore, and for whatever reason they're not here anymore, and it is traumatic. And I mean, I've had. I think the first time I saw a patient die, like, that was really hectic for me. Also because I am a very emotional person, not in the situation, but once I removed myself out of the situation, I was just like, whoa, like, what just happened? So, yeah, I think that's been hard. And also just dealing with, as I said earlier, there's a lot of sadness. So you see a lot of, like, unfortunate things, but there's also a lot of happiness. Like, when your patient comes back and they're happy and they're healed and they're doing better, you know, like,
it's
you're
the
discharging
most rewarding,
them. It really is.
Rewarding feeling to help someone that is in need.
Yeah, it really is.
Gee, you're right. You're touching on a quite a low light there. It's seeing a patient lose all hope because of a diagnosis or passing away. It's something that nothing can prepare you.
No.
And each one of us, I guess, has our coping mechanisms to deal with it.
And you need to find your coping mechanisms, hopefully healthy ones. But it's something that happens, and I think you need to find people that you can talk to about it with, because you can't always go to like your everyday person and be like, oh my word.
And no one wants to have a chat about that.
No, no one wants to talk about that. So you need to have people that you can debrief with, because you otherwise will end up a very unhappy person. But it is the nature of the job. Your emotions are not on a flat wave. They go up and down a lot. So, Joey, speaking of highlights and lowlights, what are some of the big milestones you feel like you've achieved through this journey?
I try not to be sentimental, to be honest.
Why?
Because, I don't know, so milestones, I think they're relative to whatever you're going through and whatever journey you're on. To think of a milestone, I can't even think of a milestone right
really?
Now.
Really? What about just making it here?
That I guess is, that's a milestone in
that
itself.
That would definitely be a milestone for me.
I'm very much a take every day as it comes, happy-go-lucky type of guy. So
yeah, I'm very like planned. Like, I have my goals and my lists, and I need to tick them off.
It is satisfying ticking things off a list, though, unless I lie.
Yeah, okay, I hear you. I think I think it's a very long journey, so it's very difficult sometimes. I think a big milestone.
Just to be here.
Yeah, it's just being here. I mean, we just finished class, you know.
That's a milestone.
That is a milestone, a big one for us. So we're done with, like, the theory of medicine, which is kind of frightening. I don't feel very prepared.
It's scary.
But we have SIC to fix that. And I think another thing would actually just be starting med talks. I think, you know, being able to have these conversations, being able to help educate people, educate ourselves, inspire others. I think it's really cool.
It's been profound. It's definitely been a journey, actually.
Definitely.
Hasn't even been that long, but I mean, the
here
things
we are.
I've heard and the things I've learned just from these few podcasts.
It's been cool.
It has indeed. Debbie, tell me, what advice would you give your younger self?
Go to class. No, I'm kidding. I have never really been a big fan of class. It's just not really my learning style. But I think, obviously, if I wanted to do better academically, I probably should have attended more lectures. I just felt very frustrated when I would get a lecturer that would just read off their slides, because I felt like I wasn't using my time.
And it's more common than you think.
It's very common, unfortunately. But that's a discussion for another day. I mean, I understand it. Like, I understand that, you know, a lot of our lecturers they don't have an education background. Like, they're kind of just sometimes, I think, thrown into it.
Yeah. You're going to do this lecture for the students.
And it's very difficult to teach people. It's very, very...
That's a whole different skill. I mean, having your med degree... Great, but can you teach? Can you impart your knowledge?
That's a whole different ball game. So I think sometimes that was just a bit frustrating for me, and that's why I self-studied a lot, and thank goodness for YouTube.
Well, you're here now, so there's testament to your self-studying.
Yeah, and YouTube. Thanks, YouTube. No, there's definitely this wonderful... You get good and you get bad. That's how it goes in life. Like, there's been wonderful doctors, wonderful lecturers, and there's been bad ones, and that's just how it goes.
And that's what you would tell your younger self?
That is what I would tell my younger self. And also...
Don't expect too much from doctors.
No. Also, probably just be a little bit more disciplined. But in the same breath, don't take life so seriously. Although I think I've been a lot better at not taking life so seriously. When I was in high school, I was very intense. But I think now I can just, like, kind of brush it under the rug and just be happy. Like, I want to be a good doctor, but I also want to have mental health, like a good mental health. And I think that is a more important balance for me than being top of the class. So, yeah, what would you tell your younger self?
I think I would tell my younger self that it's okay to mess up. And it's okay to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to maybe fail this test here or there and not be too hard on yourself.
Yeah. I think we're, like, as a group, we're very... Our nature is to be hard on ourselves. And it can also be a competitive environment, which makes it more difficult. Well,
competition is good, but it can lead to toxic side effects and...
I don't know, it's not always something you want to deal with, you know. So I think I'm very lucky I'm not exposed to a lot of competition, just the nature of our friend group. We don't discuss marks, we just ask, was it good, was it bad, how are you feeling, how can I help you? More than that, like, we don't do the mark thing because I just don't think that's, like, very healthy for us.
Yeah, and you got to, and respect to that, actually, because, I mean, if you know this, then there's no point discussing it or evoking these emotions that speaking about marks will evoke.
Exactly. So we don't do that at all.
So you would tell, did you discuss marks in first year, second year?
No, we haven't. We've just never discussed marks. It's just not something, it's a conversation that we had, actually. Because when we were in BSc, it was super, 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 super competitive with everyone. Like, people were throwing each other under the bus. And we kind of, like, made an ally.
That must have been
insane. It was intense. And we, like, we allied with one another, I guess, and we just made a pact. But I think it's also just the nature of the friends that I have. Like, it's just how they are. They're just such good people. So that's one thing that definitely, like, helps combat that.
I think one thing I'd also tell myself is just be patient. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of years ahead of you, a lot of days.
Don't wish your life away.
Yeah, don't get stuck wishing, literally, like I was speaking earlier. When you get into med, it's not really what you expect it to be. But that shouldn't be a reason that you wish it away or wish like, can we just start with more?
Yeah, just be present, you know. Like, honestly, everything that you do, like, in every lecture that you get, in every class that you get, in every party that you attend, like, be there. Be present. And do the best that you can. Like, if you don't understand something, I think this is something definitely I would tell myself, my younger self. If you don't understand something, go and figure out what it is. Go and figure out why. Like, understand why things happen.
Seek understanding, yes, and empathy
pick,
and everything.
Pick things apart, and especially with your work, with the curriculum that you're doing, because there's a lot of, it's like a whole new language, basically, that you're learning. So if you don't get, like, how an x-ray is done, like, go and Google, like, what is an x-ray? How do you do an x-ray? What is the point of an x-ray? You know, like, understand the mechanisms behind things, because if you understand the mechanisms, it just makes everything a lot easier to study, in a sense.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
Some sound advice.
Yeah.
So write that down. And older Joey can read it to younger Joey.
That's actually cute. Okay, so we're obviously in uncharted new territory facing SIC amidst the COVID-19 pandemic. But how have you experienced this, and what impact has it had on you?
Well, Debbie, I've been sitting at home for the past how many weeks now? 9?
I don't even know. I haven't kept count.
Yeah, same. I didn't actually like keeping count. But I have to say my experience of it, of online learning, so basically what I'm sure many universities are doing across the country and regardless of degree is basically releasing narrated slides or lectures and then having tests about it. And actually I have enjoyed doing it.
I liked it because it saves time.
Class.
Yeah, it saves time for me because I'm very like productive, I guess. Like I don't want to waste time. Like if I have 5 minutes, I want to use it wisely. So it's been nice because I can just like sit, press play, do my thing, and then do things also at my own pace.
Yeah, no, I could agree with that. I have to say I've learned a lot more. I mean, we did anesthesiology now, and they made us write a test on every single like little subject. Okay, it was 5 questions. It's not that deep, but yeah,
you have to pay attention.
You have to pay attention, and actually, just paying attention was amazing again. Because I feel sometimes when you go to, for example, when you would have rotation in the morning, I would expend almost all my energy in being present there. Yeah. Also, these things you don't factor in, like we were speaking to Temba, and he says, you don't factor in driving and getting to the hospital.
It's very draining, actually.
So.
Especially if you have road rage.
Especially the areas we drive to.
It's very frustrating.
Interesting road usage, or it's more guidelines, not road laws.
Yeah.
It's guidelines. But you just have to adapt. I do enjoy the drive, actually. It's a good debrief. We're speaking about a debrief.
Yeah. Really. It's really nice to actually just like be with your mates, catch up, sing a song. That's one thing my friends and I also a habit that we tend to have is that like in the mornings to psych ourselves up, especially if we're feeling quite down, we just like blast music and like basically scream. Just so that we can just like really psych ourselves up for the days, get our energy levels good, and just like get into like a better positive mind space. But I think I've enjoyed it personally in some aspects because I've saved a lot of time. I've been a lot more productive, but I miss my friends. Like I've really missed my friends. I've missed the hospitals, or some aspects of it, not being shouted at by registrars. The good stuff. I guess you could say.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
It has been, I have to say that the lockdown came at an opportune time in a way. It felt like I didn't know I needed a break, but the break has been thoroughly enjoyed.
The break needed me.
Yeah, the break. And it's been good for my mental health just to chill and take things a bit slower. I mean, in those first 2 weeks, no one had any clue how to do online lectures. So, I mean, we were basically on holiday. We were supposed to be studying.
Yeah.
We were supposed to be studying. Did I?
We didn't.
Probably not.
No.
But, So in a way, it's also been a bit of a holiday, but now it's kind of like a staycation at home with work.
With work. It's piling up a bit. I think it's just, I think you miss that, like, human interaction. That can get a bit hard. And then also, it's a change, and any change is a stressor. And I think that's something that we also need to understand. So, I caught myself the other day, like, feeling really just weird and a bit down about things. And I then just had to remind myself, like, okay, listen, you're literally living through a pandemic. Everything has changed. There's no certainty. Like, you're allowed to feel anxious and you're allowed to feel down. Everything in my home environment has changed. Like, everyone's working from home. You know, everyone's in your space. It's a whole complete different set of circumstances that you have to deal with, and it's perfectly fine. Like, how you feel is normal. You're not weird because of how you feel. And I think just remembering that was reassuring. But I'm definitely keen for, you know, getting this SIC show on the road. I think it's going to be a bit trying for us. We have rotations for 5 weeks instead of 7 weeks.
Yeah, it's been shortened.
So, thanks COVID-19 for that.
I guess it's less time that they'll... I was thinking about it. Maybe the doctors will actually be more focused, or registrars, on imparting knowledge and teaching us than kind of just giving us the grunt work, like stand in the corner.
Like, put up a drip.
Yeah, it's kind of now like you've got 5 weeks.
I hope so. And I think especially because we're SICs, you know, like this is your last chance to kind of get it right before you're a big doctor.
You're still working under someone when you're internship.
You are, but let's pretend. you want to be responsible.
That's true.
So yeah, so I think I hope that's how it plays out, but time will tell, eh? Mm.
At the end of the day, I think COVID has taught me more than anything. I've got a lot more to be grateful for than to complain of.
No, that is 110% sure. I think if you think you have it bad, there is, I hate to say it, but there is always someone that has it worse than you.
10 to the power of...
Yeah, and I think sometimes you just need perspective. Like, perspective will also help you feel better. But it doesn't invalidate how you feel. Like, you're allowed to feel how you feel. Okay, so thanks, guys, for listening to our little chat. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you've learned something. I think sometimes it's always nice to have a bit of an insight into someone's journey and someone's path so that you can...
We hope you can take something out of that and use it to help you in your own path and your own journey.
Yeah. So if you have any queries, questions, comments...
You're more than welcome to DM us or get in contact. And yeah, I hope you guys have enjoyed just Debbie and I chatting. Let us know what you think about it.
Yeah, let us know if you like it, if we should do it again, shouldn't do it again. We won't be offended. Thanks, guys.
Ciao.
Bye.